If you'll open your Bibles this morning to Psalm 39. Psalm 39. Just wait one second here. Psalm 39. If you take notes, I've entitled the message, Strangers or Squatters? Strangers or Squatters? Psalm 39, we're going to look at verse 12. Thus saith the Lord, For I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. Before we look into our text, let's bow our heads and ask for understanding. Heavenly Father, as we come to the preaching of your word, we thank you, first of all, Lord, that we have your word. We thank you so much, Lord, that we can count on it. Now, as we come to this passage that your servant David wrote, we pray you would give us the spirit of understanding, Lord, and not just the understanding of it, Lord, but that you would give us the spirit of application, that we might take it with us. As we leave this place this day, be glorified in all that's said and done. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. David wrote Psalm 39 because he was in great sin. And he's crying out, For I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner as all my fathers were. The message I've prepared for you this morning has two parts. The first part of the message is for God's children. And the second part of the message is for those who have not yet come to Calvary and claimed Christ as their Savior. If you read the entire verse, you'll see that our text is an argument that David is using in his prayer. The whole text reads, Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. I'm here to tell you this morning, it's a wonderful thing that we have the prayers that David wrote in the Psalms, because in it we see that he begs God. He argues with God. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to do that. Because first, our faith grips the promises of Scripture. But then, it is well grounded. Our arguments are well grounded in arguments that we must wrestle with our Father with until daybreak. When we want to obtain mercy from the Lord, we must support our prayer with reasons that are drawn from His nature, His promises, and the experience of His children as recorded in Scripture. Beloved, we must lay siege to the throne room of grace with the most powerful arguments that we can find in God's Word. And then, like David, we must grab onto the arm of omnipotence and use the plea that Jacob did when he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. That's what David did. I could spend many moments just looking at David's prayer. But it's not his prayer this morning that I want to talk to you about, but rather the argument that David uses in his prayer. The first point I would make to you is that David said he was a stranger and a sojourner as all his fathers were before him. What is a stranger? A stranger is a person who is away from home, and a sojourner is one who only stays in a place for a short period of time. And then they move on. Stranger and sojourner. These are two perfect words that illustrate a genuine Christian's walk on earth. But how is a Christian a stranger? How does that happen? First of all, he's a stranger because he's not in his native land. When you were born again, you became a new creature in Christ. And as such, you were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And as an adopted son or daughter of God, this world and all that's in it is no longer your home. You see, your union with Christ has unshackled you from this world. And because genuine believers are not in their native land, our true possessions are not here. In fact, we own nothing in this world. Nothing. There isn't a person living on this planet that really owns anything. Everything we have or ever will have is on loan. It's been lent to us to use while we're here. Our body is on loan because one day God's going to take it back. All the possessions we accumulate in this world are on loan because I've never seen a U-Haul behind a Hearst. And one day, when we go home to glory, we're going to leave everything we've accumulated here. My dearly beloved, do you not know that your inheritance is not here? Your inheritance is above. An inheritance that the Apostle Peter promises us is incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. 1 Peter 1:4. Let me ask you, do you believe that? Do you believe that you have an inheritance waiting for you in heaven? And do you believe that you are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, God Himself, and all that He has is yours as well? Do you believe that? The Apostle Paul told the church at Rome, and he's telling the church in Northfield, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8, 16 and 17. Do you get that? Do you believe that? Do you understand the words of Jesus? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So where is your heart and treasures, brothers and sisters? Where is it? I ask you this because there are many Christians today in the 21st century church who live dual lives. They claim to be strangers and sojourners here. They claim to be just passing through. And yet, while they're here, the focus of their life is split between God and the world. They've busied up their lives with so many activities that God and the things of God seem to be secondary to everything else. These are Christians who lay claim to the blood of Jesus Christ, and yet they have no heart for Bible study. They have no heart for prayer every day. They have no heart for serving God in a meaningful way. They claim that the lack of time and making a living keeps them from fellowship. They claim that making time or not having time keeps them from all the other church activities that are going on that they're not a part of. Yes, as Christians, they claim to be strangers here. But their lifestyle reveals that their hearts and their treasures are really divided between heaven and earth. These people are called Christian squatters, believers who take up residences in two kingdoms. If I'm speaking to someone here this morning, take heed, brother or sister, because if indeed you are a true believer, the chastisement of your Father's hand is nearby. The Apostle Paul warns us in Colossians 3:2, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And John gives us an even sterner warning in 1 John 2:15, 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Let me tell you something. If your Father loved you enough to sacrifice his only begotten Son, he did that for you, to save you, for your soul. He certainly loves you enough to keep you from starving to death. I'm saying starving to death because if you are a Christian squatter, the verses I just quoted and many others teach us, if we take up residence here, it isn't very long before we start eating the gruel that this world offers. It doesn't take long. You see, a squatter spends so much time rummaging through and collecting the rubbish of this world, they don't take time to feed themselves the spiritual manna that comes from Scripture. They're too busy. And like children, they have every excuse you can think of for not drinking the water that comes from the fountain of life. And the result of not eating and drinking from the word of life is spiritual malnutrition. A Christian squatter's faith soon becomes lukewarm. Carnality begins to reassert itself, and the things of the flesh begin to take priority in life. Christian squatters' prayers are weak at best, and they often go unheard of because of sin in their life. How many times do you get on your knees and beg God for the soul of one of your loved ones? How many times do you ask God to pour his healing out on another? How many times do you pray that God will move in your life and use you in a mighty way and really believe that he'll do it? Christian squatters, they may have faith. They may be in heaven. But while they're here, they're going to be malnutritioned because they're not eating their daily bread. They're not eating from the word of life every day because they have residences here on earth and here in heaven. And their time is divided. They're too busy. And in so doing, I might add, we break the first commandment. Love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. Nothing should ever come before your God and your Father. Nothing. But somewhere, if you're a true believer, somewhere along this slide from grace, and that's exactly what it is, your Heavenly Father will intercede. He'll step in and He'll bring you back to where you're supposed to be. And I can tell you from personal experience, He has many methods to do that. And I don't know of one of them that isn't painful. None of them are pleasant. The writer to the Hebrews explains it to us this way. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I want to draw your attention for a moment to the words in that verse. Unto them which are exercised thereby. That means, if you're sitting here this morning and you're a child of light, a genuine son or daughter of God, when your Father brings His chastening hand into your life, you will submit to Him. You will repent. You will be exercised back from being a squatter in this world to being a stranger who's just passing through. Beloved brothers and sisters, your Creator has made an irrevocable commitment to you that's written with the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And in John 10:29, our Savior Jesus promises us He will never lose you. My Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and no man, not even yourself, is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. If you're sitting here this morning and you've got one foot in this earth in residence and the other foot's in heaven and you're a true believer, then buckle up, because your Father will allow you to do this for a while, but soon the chastening hand will be upon you, and you will submit. So I would encourage you to look up those verses about loving not the world nor the things in the world. I would encourage you to go by a cemetery and see if there's any storage lockers. I would encourage you to look at a funeral procession and see if there are any U-Hauls. You see, when you try to accumulate things in this world, what ends up happening is you're like a little child who goes into this beautiful garden filled with all the flowers and all the beauty and all the smells that God made. And rather than going to the flowers, the little child reaches down and picks a dandelion. That's what happens when you pick from this world rather than picking from your Father's world. That's what happens when you're a squatter here, when you take up residence here and in heaven. Your time is divided. And sooner or later, God will come and He'll help you out of that situation. But I can tell you, it isn't going to be a pleasant thing. The second part of my message is directed to the tares and the unbelievers who might be listening this morning. Paul told the Ephesian church that before they were converted to Christ, he writes, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. This is God's position for all who have not believed His testimony that Jesus Christ is His Son and he came to take away the sins of the world. It's his testimony. And I would add that believing in God means obeying God. Believing in God means submitting yourself to God. And I have a proof verse for that. John 14:15. If you love me, Jesus says, you will keep my commandments. You see, today, billions of people know God cerebrally, but they don't live their life the way His Word tells them to live their life. The book of James tells us just knowing God cerebrally doesn't mean that you're saved. Thou believest that there is one God, he wrote. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So if you know Jesus Christ mentally, but you don't walk on that narrow path that's laid out in Scripture, then friend, your faith is no better than that of the devils. If right now you're a stranger to God and His covenant, then friend, I suggest you enjoy every second that you're alive here on planet Earth. Whatever your lot is, enjoy it. Because I'm here to tell you that if Christ doesn't come into your life before you leave this planet, this is as good as it's ever going to get for you. You see, just like God's children, you're sojourning here as well. You don't own anything, and your time here is limited. All human beings are born with an expiration date, saved and unsaved alike. And one day, you will go to your homeland, a different place than where the children of God go. It's a place of eternal darkness, a place of suffering, and a place of torment. The Apostle John wrote about that homeland this way: the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night. Revelation 14:10-11. All this because you are estranged from the God of Jacob and Israel. You're aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise. You have no hope, and without God in the world. But if this message is speaking to your heart, and you feel your heart drawing closer to God, then you see me after the service and I'll show you in Scripture how God is calling you, how God wants you to be part of His kingdom, and how God is introducing Himself to you. You see, you don't have to remain a stranger from God. All you have to do is repent of your sin and trust in God to forgive you. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Do this with your mouth, and then live your life like you mean it. And you will be a stranger here and a sojourner here, like the children of light, members of the household of God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, we thank you that you have given us a path to walk on. You have distinguished, Lord, between the wide path and the narrow path. You have distinguished in the homelands between the lost and the saved. I pray, Lord, for any Christian brother or sister that's a squatter here on earth, who's divided, time is divided between you and this world. I pray, Father, that you would open their eyes to the truth. And Lord, if there be one here that doesn't know your Son as Savior, we all pray, Lord, that you would draw them to yourself. And we'd ask it all for your glory and in the name of Christ. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is found on page 481.